24-24 right now. She's obliterating the record.
Alicia Barnall is about to four-peat the only man in history to do it.
Kara Gotcher, she wanted to do this event. It was important to her. Here in Duluth, how sweet it is. Her arm raised in triumph.
Welcome, everybody, to the Gearing Up for Grandma's podcast, brought to you by Essentia Health. Hello again, everybody. I'm your host, Peter Graves. Thank you for being with us. We have with us today one of only two people to have run to this point all 46 Grandma's Marathons in history. Jim Nowak is our guest on this episode of the podcast. Jim, welcome. Nice to have you.
It's great to be here.
Well, I have to, so many questions to ask you. 46 Grandma's Marathon, and you're going for your 47th this June. Do you take some time to ponder each year to think about simply how incredible that is, that you've done each and every race?
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. You think about, we're just guys are out of college running the marathon. And at the beginning, like our parents were out on the course, and that was really great. And then your parents die and you get married and you have kids and it's you're still doing it.
It is amazing. Well, so did this just organically happen? You ran the first one in 1977, then again in 78. At what point did you start to think, hey, this is something I'm going to do each and every year?
Well, at the time, the North Shore Striders had quite a few races, about one every week. And so it got to be kind of a fun thing running with everybody. So it was easy to get through the marathons the first few years. Then when it got to be about 10 marathons into it, so people started talking about maybe doing 20 marathons.
Yeah.
And the numbers started dwindling. People had marriages and funerals and trips and injuries, and anything could take them out. So that's always kind of in the back of your mind that what's going to take me out this year.
Well, as you approached some of these milestones, say 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, did you start thinking then, I want to see how long I can go with this ride?
Yeah, I thought 50 at the age of 75 would be nice. But I still got to take it one year at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder, have you ever talked to Doug Curtis much about all the marathons he's done and learned anything from him?
Well, I saw him at the Strider reunion last year. And yeah, it's really incredible for his age group and how fast he was able to run them. And I can tell you that as you get older, it doesn't get any easier.
No. Well, what you achieved is amazing. The other person in this club with you is John Naslund, the Iron Two, as you're called in Grandma's Marathon circles. Were you two friends before this streak started? Because at least for now, you've been linked together every year. Did you know John?
Oh, yeah, I knew John pretty well. We were on the track team together up at UMD. John was a pole vaulter, and I was a half miler. And Eleanor Rinda, our coach, I talked to her a few years ago, and I asked her, are you surprised that I'm still doing this? She said, no, not you, but John, I'm surprised, because we used to have him run a mile or something, and he just groaned and hated to do it.
Yeah. Huh. So. And do you talk to him or see him during the year?
Oh, not really, but kind of more just when we're up at the marathon.
Yeah. How, since you've run so many, and I don't know the answer to this question, but have you stayed relatively injury-free during the year, Jim?
Well, relatively, but I had some issues back in Thanksgiving time. I started getting a pain running down to my hip, and it turned out to be my lower vertebrae was inflamed and was sending nerves to make my hip hurt. I couldn't run more than 3 or 4 miles, and it was in the back of my mind, this is going to take me out this year. But I went to a chiropractor, I went to a doctor, I went to a physical therapist, did a lot of stretching, and a miracle, about a month ago, the pain went away.
Oh.
And now I'm up to running about 40 miles a week. So.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty amazing. Well, you two, of course, were two of the first members of the race's 1,000 miler club. And actually, you were part of the decision-making process for what people who achieve that goal should receive as an award. You've got a 1,000 miler grandma's marathon belt buckle. And in running circles, those belt buckles mean a lot. What does it mean to you?
Well, it's just hard to believe that we ran that many miles out there.
yeah, I would say.
Oh, really great.
Yeah. Well, it is amazing. Speaking of things you can take home, I'm sort of curious, do you have all the medals? I mean, I know at the beginning there weren't medals when it started, but have you saved all the ones you've earned in Duluth over the years?
I probably have them somewhere. I have so many medals from different races.
That's right. You need a new wing on the house.
What I do have is I had to make up my mind what t-shirt to put on because I have 46 choices here.
Yeah.
So, say, you talk about injuries. Last March, I was down in Florida visiting a buddy of mine, Bill Austin, of Boston General Sports.
Yep.
Anyway, I was out running in some 90-degree weather down in Fort Myers, and Bill was following behind me in a bike, but I was running alongside of the fence, and a pit bull started running alongside the fence, burrowed underneath, and jumped up on me, and started biting me and tore the watch off my arm, and I had over 20 bite marks, and I pushed it away, and it came back and bit me in the knee and scratched me. And luckily the neighbor was there that knew the dog, called it off, and I was a bloody mess. Through my mind I'm going like, I might die from this, you know. It was really scary.
Jim, did you have to have the full complement of rabies shots, that kind of stuff?
No, I got a tetanus shot, and they gave me some anti-inflammatory pills for 10 days.
Huh. But, well, I know you have a lot of stories. Do you have any favorites that stand out from all the time you spent between Two Harbors and Duluth?
Well, I think 1979, I had a really good run that time. It wasn't like elite, but I hit my first mile in 5:57, and I wanted to run 6. And it's amazing that every single mile I hit exactly at 6. You know, by the time I hit 9 miles, I had 54 minutes, and then something happened. I had 201 at 10 mile. I mean, 101.
101.
And yeah. So I ended up running a 247. So I was pretty proud of that.
Was that the fastest time ever, Jim?
Well, it's hard to say. I ran the Boston Marathon in 79, and it took a while to get to the starting line, and I didn't have a watch or anything, but I was next to Kerry Lauchs, and he said it's exactly 4 minutes when I hit the line, and they didn't have things that detected the time or anything back then. So I ran a 2:48 there, so I might have run a 2:44. But
wow, anyway. That's very, very good.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting too. I'm in the Pru building in the basement, and someone was going to get some help for me because I had a big blister on my foot. Mm-hmm. And nobody ever came, and I must have been looking kind of bad because this older guy came up to me and held up two fingers. He said, "How many fingers?" I said, "Two." He said, "Oh, you're all right." And it was Jack Dempsey.
Oh, wow.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's really cool. At this point in your career and your life, what sort of messages might you have for running as we age? We're all aging, what may be some tips you could tell us about running as we get older?
Well, when you get it in the race and all of a sudden all these younger people go flying by you, you've got to keep in mind that you might be going for age group placing. And as you get to 70, there's not as many people anymore, but a lot of times you can get a first or a second. And that's kind of motivating, but it is discouraging to see these other people flying by you, but they're usually 30, 40 years younger than you. And now, like in the marathon, grandmas, now that I'm kind of more in the back of the pack, I meet a lot of people that's their first marathon, so I encourage them.
That's wonderful. Didn't Alex Rattel run a lot of grandmas as well, Jim?
Yeah, he was, I think he was down to like the last five. And then, yeah, but he ran world record times for his age group. I don't know how he did it.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm guessing that since you ran in college, that you probably have a very significant fitness base that you've carried with you through life.
Yeah, Runner's World put out a book about 1974. I kind of go back to that, look at it, but back in the 70s. It was a rarity for anybody to run consistently for 50 years.
And, yes, for sure.
And so I kind of thought, hey, I kind of like to take that challenge up.
Well, you've done it, and you've done it beautifully. I want to shift gears and ask you a little bit from your perspective, what's changed about the race? What stayed the same from day one to now? Give us your kind of review how Grandma's Marathon has grown up throughout the years.
Well, the first year, I wasn't even sure I was going to run it because I ran my first marathon, the Pablo Nerman, the year before, and it was really hot. And when I finished, I got squirted down with a hose, fire hose. And so I wasn't sure, so Rick Jackson called me up and said, "Oh, we got a marathon. What, you want to run it?" And I said, "Oh, okay." So I came down and ran it. Well, that year, it was the race started at 11 o'clock. For some reason, Grandma's went, who was sponsoring it, wanted us to come at a later time. Mm-hmm. And it was so darn hot that day. I think it was 86 degrees, and it was baking on that tar out there. And anyway, I was running with a group of Dr. Leppy. He was assistant dean of the medical school, and Kerry Lokes and a few other people. I can't remember who they were anymore. But I wasn't feeling very good. So I tossed my cookies a few times and stuff. Dr. Lepe said, just let it go. And I made it all the way to the finish. That year, I think, out of, 161, we had 151 finishers. So at the time, if you ran a marathon back then, there wasn't too many people that were real slow. Either you're a runner or you weren't.
Right.
So the course started a little bit closer to Two Harbors, but I think because the race got bigger and stuff, they had to move it up a mile. Mm. And as you came down London Road, you can't, once you got on Superior Street, right before Pickers, you cut down and went over a bunch of railroad tracks and then got to Lake Avenue and finished. And then like when Dick Beardsley, I think it was 1981, when he had his great race, all of a sudden the crowds of the runners swelled up to 3,000 or 4,000 people. And it kept on growing from that point on. And where the first year, I kind of knew about, in some way, about half of the runners. And now it's lucky if I see one or two people I know in the whole race. And we didn't have any trouble at the porta potty line. Now it's like a 10-minute wait, and I got about 50 of them out there.
And, yeah, the race has certainly grown. I mean, we talked to Scott Keenan a week or so ago about his memories for the podcast. And, you know, I mean, he had no idea what he was jumping into in that very first race or two.
Yeah, Scott did a great job of organizing and getting the whole thing to grow. It's pretty amazing. So the big thing over the years is, been the heat, probably about half of them, the temperature has been up in the 80s, and they've been real struggles to get through those. Mm-hmm. I didn't really care for it when they were doing the construction on Superior Street, because it was kind of a lonely mile when you ran down, is it Michigan Street or
I think so.
One? The block below Superior Street. Anyway, it was just kind of cement and freeway part, and nobody was there to cheer you on. But I'm glad they got a Superior Street opened up again. One thing I like in the previous races, they used to have a tent at the finish line, and they had the music so that you could gather around the runners and stuff. But now it's, I think they take everything over to the Bayview Park or whatever they call it. And it's just like a half a mile away, and you just don't feel like walking another half mile, or the people that are waiting for you want to go over there. So I kind of wish they'd kept some music and entertainment right at the finish line. But that's just my personal feeling on it.
Well, you certainly earned your right to speak on it. That's for sure. Jim, looking back in your career, did you have an inspiration from somebody that guided you along or was a mentor in running or anything like that?
Well, one person, my uncle, Joe Nowak, was a real big skier back in the 50s and stuff. He up at Chester Bowl, he retired the guy, R. Olson trophy, by winning three consecutive times. And that's another thing I didn't like, is that they tore down those ski jumps.
I know.
I really missed them.
So much history there.
Yeah, when I was in third grade, I went up to the Little Chester with Greg Score and went off to jump at 10 years old. That scared the heck out of me. And Greg went on to be a great ski jumper, and I kind of went snowshoeing instead, a little closer to the ground.
And so, Adrian Watt was such a good jumper from Duluth around that era, too.
Yes. So Joel gave me quite an inspiration. The other person would probably be Gary Bjorklund. Mm-hmm. And I just marveled at what he did. And when I went to Duluth East, John Cordes was a great half miler. Mm-hmm. I think he eventually ran like a 147, and he had the Big Ten record for 1,000 yards.
Wow.
Yeah. But so you see these other people now the Kenyans, they're pretty amazing to see them coming. It's amazing how they can knock off those miles almost at world record pace.
Certainly is. Yeah. And we continue to have world-class fields. So, Jim, 47 this year. 50 won't be far off after that. If you have the good fortune to still be active, and do you think 50 is a number that you would like to go for, or do you just take it year to year now, Jim?
Well, I met a guy at the U.S. National Snowshoes, and they call him Fast Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
He's 80, 81 or something like that. And he told me, just keep at it. He's got a string of running all the Minneapolis marathons too.
Mm.
But 50 would be nice, but it's like, you never know what's going to happen with, like I said, with that dog and my
dog,
that in the back of my mind, I thought I had only about a 50-50 chance. But I ran a half marathon 10 days ago, so I know I can go from there. At least I'm getting some decent miles in.
Yeah, well, that's good. It's been really nice to talk to you. I guess one of the final questions I have is, do you have a ritual at all, Jim, that you do each and every year that kind of centers you at all at the race?
Oh, before the race?
Yeah.
Yeah, I try to make sure I got everything put together. Lately, I've been going down to the spaghetti dinner, and I meet some people down there. One guy I ran with, the year of the virtual, I met a guy that, Dave Curry, he tried to go across Knife River, and he decided not to. And he said he saw somebody going over the railroad trestle, and he said he wasn't going to do that either. So we ran together. There's probably a 50 or 100 people that day that did it. But anyway, I as far as the ritual, I go to spaghetti dinner, and then wherever I end up staying, I kind of go through everything what I'm going to wear the next day. And I got to make sure I have a couple alarm clocks ready. But that's usually no problem at all, because I'm usually awake by 5 o'clock in the morning and ready to go.
Yeah.
So that's about it.
Well, it's a real pleasure to talk to you. I mean, you're a very inspiring guy, and we'll look forward to seeing you cross that finish line at this year's edition of the race, Jim. So thank you.
Yeah, that would be great to have the cross that finish line. I sure hope it works.
Well, I bet it will, and I'm wishing you all of good things. So thank you.
Thank you for helping out.
It's been my pleasure. That's it for this week. And thanks so much to our guest, Jim Nowak. He's completed more than 1,200 miles. Astounding. On the Grandma's Marathon race course. And he's set for 26.2 more this June. We'll look forward to seeing him there. This Gearing Up for Grandma's podcast is brought to you by Essentia Health. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Please subscribe, rate us, and tell your friends. Grandma's Marathon is proudly presented by Toyota, Members Cooperative Credit Union, and ASICS. I'm Peter Graves. We'll talk again. Jim.